Okay, so you've sent in a bunch of stuff about this Depin thing.
Yeah, decentralized physical infrastructure networks.
Depin, right?
Yeah.
Depin. So I've looked through all the stuff you sent, and I gotta say it's pretty fascinating. And we're gonna dive deep into this today. But first off, for anyone listening who maybe hasn't heard of Depin before, can we just like break down what exactly it is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Depin is all about kind of like rethinking how we do infrastructure, like the essential stuff we need, like energy and internet and, you know, all that good
Like
stuff.
the physical stuff, right? Not just like the internet, but the actual wires and towers
Right,
and I
exactly. The actual physical infrastructure.
don't
So instead of relying on like, you know, these big centralized companies or governments to build and manage everything, Depin is all about like empowering communities to do it themselves using
know.
blockchain technology.
So like instead of having, one big power plant that's controlled by like a utility company, you would have like a whole bunch of smaller energy sources, like solar panels on people's houses and stuff, and they would be all connected and managed through like a blockchain or something.
Exactly. That's a great example. Like you could have a neighborhood where everyone has solar panels and they're sharing energy with each other through a decentralized grid. And because it's all managed on a blockchain, it's transparent and secure, and everyone gets rewarded for their contributions.
That's cool. And what about the internet? Like, how would Depin work for that?
Oh, you've probably heard of Helium, right?
Yeah, vaguely.
So that's a great example of Depin for internet access. They have this network of like hotspots that people can set up in their homes or businesses, and it provides wireless coverage for IoT devices and even like regular internet access in some areas.
Oh, wow. So like instead of paying Comcast or Verizon, I could just like tap into this Helium network?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the area and the coverage, but yeah, that's the general idea. It's like a community-owned and operated internet service.
That's wild. Okay, so it sounds like Depin could potentially disrupt like a lot of different
Oh
industries.
yeah, for sure. Like anything that involves physical infrastructure could be impacted by this. Like we've talked about energy and internet, but it could also be used for things like transportation, logistics, supply chain management, waste management, like all sorts of things.
So basically, it's like taking these traditional industries that are kind of like stuck in the old ways of doing things and like shaking them up with this new decentralized approach.
Exactly. It's like a paradigm shift in how we think about infrastructure.
So one thing I'm curious about is like, why is this happening now? Like, why is Depin suddenly becoming like a thing?
Well, there are a few reasons, I think. Firstly, blockchain technology has matured a lot in recent years. Like we now have the tools and infrastructure to actually build and manage these complex decentralized systems.
Like smart contracts and DAOs and all that.
So, right, exactly. Those things are essential for Depin to work. Secondly, I think there's a growing awareness of the limitations of centralized infrastructure. Like we've seen how vulnerable it can be to things like outages, hacks, and natural disasters. And then there's also the issue of control. Like when you have these big centralized companies controlling essential services, it gives them a lot of power over our lives.
Yeah, that's true. Like when Facebook went down for like a day a few years ago, it was like chaos.
Right. And imagine if it was something like the power grid or the internet going down. That could be really serious. So I think people are starting to realize that maybe we need a more resilient and decentralized approach to infrastructure.
And with Depin, it's like the power is distributed among the community rather than being concentrated in the hands of a few.
Exactly. It's more democratic and less vulnerable to single points of failure.
Okay, so we've talked about like the what and the why of Depin. Now let's dive into like the how. Like how does this actually work in practice? Like what are the nuts and bolts of these Depin systems?
Sure. So at the heart of it, you have these blockchain-based protocols that define the rules of the network, like how contributions are measured, how rewards are distributed, how governance decisions are made, and all that stuff.
So it's like a set of instructions that everyone on the network agrees to follow.
Exactly. And because it's all on a blockchain, it's transparent and tamper-proof. So everyone can see how the system is working, and there's no one central authority that can just change the rules on a whim.
And how do people actually participate in these networks? Like, what do they need to do?
Well, it depends on the specific network. But generally speaking, you need to have some kind of asset that you can contribute to the network. Like with Helium, you need a hotspot device. With Filecoin, you need storage space. With Render, you need computing power, and so on.
Okay, so you're basically like renting out your unused resources to the network.
Yeah, kind of. Like you're making your idle assets productive and earning rewards for it.
And what are the rewards? Like, how do people get paid for their contributions?
Typically, it's through native tokens. So, like with Helium, you earn HNT tokens. With Filecoin, you earn FIL tokens, and so on. These tokens can then be traded on cryptocurrency exchanges for other cryptocurrencies or even for fiat currency.
So it's like you're getting paid in this new kind of money that's specific to that network.
Exactly. And the value of the token is usually tied to the success of the network. So the more people that use the network and the more demand there is for the services it provides, the higher the value of the token should be.
That makes sense. So there's an incentive for people to participate in the network and help it grow.
Exactly. It's like a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Everyone benefits from a stronger and more valuable network.
So one thing I'm wondering about is, like, how do these DePIN networks ensure that the quality of service is good? Like, if anyone can just join the network and contribute, how do you make sure that everyone is pulling their weight and not just, like, freeloading?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are a few mechanisms that DePIN networks use to ensure quality of service. One is through reputation systems. So, like, if you consistently provide good service, you earn a higher reputation score. And that can make you more likely to get selected for tasks or earn more rewards.
So it's like having a good rating on Uber or Airbnb.
Exactly. And then there are also mechanisms like staking, where you have to put up some of your own tokens as collateral to guarantee your good behavior. Like, if you start providing bad service, you could lose your stake.
Oh, wow. So there are real consequences for messing up.
Yeah, there have to be. Otherwise, people would just take advantage of the system and it wouldn't work.
Okay, so there are ways to incentivize good behavior and punish bad behavior. What about governance? Like, how are decisions made about the direction of the network? Like, who gets to decide what features get added or how the protocol gets updated?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, most DePIN networks use DAOs for governance. So that means that the token holders get to vote on proposals that affect the network.
So it's like a democracy where everyone has a say.
Yeah, kind of. It's more like a representative democracy, though, because usually you don't have every single token holder voting on every single proposal. It's more like you elect delegates or representatives to vote on your behalf.
Okay, so it's like a system of checks and balances to make sure that no one person or group has too much power.
Exactly. It's all about decentralizing power and giving the community control over the network.
So it sounds like there's a lot of thought and care that goes into designing these DePIN systems. Like, it's not just like throwing some blockchain technology at a problem and hoping for the best.
Right. It definitely takes a lot of careful planning and consideration to create a well-functioning DePIN network.
Sure.
Like, you need to think about things like the incentive mechanisms,
yep,
the governance structure, the technical architecture, the user experience, and a lot more.
Sounds like a really complex undertaking.
It can be.
Yeah.
But the potential rewards are huge. Like, if we can get this right, DePIN could really transform the way we live and work.
So let's talk about some of the potential benefits of DePIN. Like, yeah, what are some of the ways that this could make our lives better?
Sure. Well, first of all, DePIN could make infrastructure more affordable and accessible. Like, right now, a lot of people are excluded from access to essential services like internet or energy because they live in remote areas where they can't afford the high costs. But with the DePIN, you can have these community-owned and operated networks that can provide these services at a much lower cost.
So it's like bringing the benefits of technology to people who have been left behind.
Exactly. And secondly, DePIN could make infrastructure more resilient and sustainable. Like we talked about earlier, centralized infrastructure is vulnerable to single points of failure. But with DePIN, you have this distributed network that can keep running even if some parts of it go down.
And it can also be more environmentally friendly, right? Because
yeah,
you're often using renewable energy sources and reducing waste.
Right. DePIN can really align well with sustainability goals because you're often tapping into underutilized resources and creating more efficient systems.
And then there's also the whole empowerment thing, right? Like, with DePIN, people have more control over the infrastructure that they rely on.
Exactly. It's like taking power back from the big corporations and putting it into the hands of the people.
So it's not just about technology. It's also about, like, a shift in power dynamics.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about creating a more equitable and democratic society.
Okay, so there are a lot of potential benefits to DePIN, but what about the challenges? Like, what are some of the hurdles that need to be overcome for this to really take off?
Well, one challenge is scalability. Like, how do you make these DePIN networks work at a really large scale? Like, can they handle the same volume of traffic as the centralized systems they're trying to replace?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, can a decentralized network of hotspots really compete with the likes of Comcast or Verizon?
It remains to be seen. But there are definitely projects working on this. Like, Helium is already expanding rapidly, and they're constantly improving their technology.
So the technology is still evolving.
Yeah, definitely. It's early days for DePIN. But that's also what makes it so exciting. Like, there's so much potential for innovation and growth.
And then there's also the regulatory landscape, right? Like, governments are still trying to figure out how to deal with this whole blockchain and cryptocurrency thing.
Right, exactly. Regulation is a big unknown for DePIN. Like, will governments embrace this new model, or will they try to stifle it?
It's probably going to vary from country to country, right? Some might be more open to it than others.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, but I think that the PIN movement is gaining momentum, and it's only a matter of time before governments have to take it seriously.
So maybe we'll see some countries becoming like DePIN hubs, kind of like how Estonia is known for being crypto-friendly.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. Like, governments that embrace DePIN could attract investment and innovation and become leaders in this space.
So there's a lot at stake here.
Definitely. This could be a really big deal for the future of infrastructure.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about it. Like, we've talked about all these big picture implications of DePIN, but how could this affect you personally? Like, what are some ways that DePIN could change your everyday life?
That's a good question. Well, for one thing, DePIN could give you more control over your data. Like, right now, a lot of our data is collected and controlled by big tech companies. With DePIN, you could have more ownership and agency over your data. You could choose to share it with certain networks or services and get rewarded for it. Or you could choose to keep it private.
So it's like putting you back in the driver's seat when it comes to your data.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then DePIN could also save you money. Like, if you're able to access essential services like internet or energy through community-owned and operated networks, you could potentially pay lower prices than you do now.
That would be nice, especially with inflation being what it is these days.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's also the potential to earn passive income. Like, if you have spare computing power or storage space, you could rent it out to a DePIN network and earn some extra cash.
So it's like turning your idle assets into a source of income.
Exactly. It's like the sharing economy, but for infrastructure.
That's cool. Okay, so there are a lot of potential benefits for individuals as well as for society as a whole.
Definitely. DePIN has the potential to be really transformative on multiple levels.
Okay, so one last thought for our listeners. Think about the infrastructure that you use every day, like the internet, the energy grid, the transportation system. Now imagine if those things were owned and operated by the community rather than by big corporations or governments. How would that change things? Would it make them better, more affordable, more resilient, more sustainable? I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a question worth pondering.
Yeah, I agree. It's time to start rethinking the way we do infrastructure. And DePIN might just be the answer.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into DePIN. We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic.
See you then.
Bye.